We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Currently it's 64 degrees, winds out of the southeast at 9 miles an hour with some gust up to 17 miles an hour. Humidity is really low, 21%. I have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up later in the show. Well, I don't even know where to start. We got all kinds of things going on. Today is the Stockman's Veterinarian and Dr. Taylor Mouse Happy Cap Hour. They're my sponsor of the show today. I'm wearing their cap. If you can see it on the Facebook, we are live on Facebook. We're live on our website, live on the radio, of course. And Spencer Smith with 4Ag will be in here in just a little bit around 12:30 to do a Spencer Smith planter tip of the week. And he's done 3 so far. This will be number 4. We'll recap the ones he's already done, and he's got a new one for today because planting season is upon us. So we got that going on. Let's check out the markets. Refresh them real quick. Make sure they're up to date. Well, oil's back up over $100. Dang it. We don't need that. We need it to get back down around 80 or 85. I don't know if it's going to do that or not. Well, live cattle for April is 140.05. It's up about 1. Live cattle for June is 135.95, up a half. August is 137.90. October is 144.45. Feeder cattle for April is down 156.30. May is 160.82. It's down. Lean hogs are down quite a bit, actually, almost 3. May is 104.95, June is 111, and July is 113. Man, this time last week, July lean hogs was around 120, 122, so it's taking a hit. Cotton's hanging in there. July cotton, 135, so it's just steady as she goes. Let's check out the current cash markets in Oklahoma. Here we go. Wheat hanging in there at $10.91. Corn's at $8.19 a bushel. Milo is $7.87. And soybeans are $16.05 for July. And anyway, that's your market. Let's check out what's happening all over the United States with all the futures and stuff. Wheat futures surged in overnight trading as the condition of U.S. winter crop continues to deteriorate due to dry weather in the southern plains. About 27% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was in good or excellent condition on Sunday, down from 30% the previous week, according to the Department of Agriculture, said in its report. Some 32% of the crop has earned top ratings 2 weeks ago, and 11% of the crop was headed at the start of the week, well behind the five-year average of 19%. Little or no rain has fallen in the southern plains, including almost all of western Kansas, the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, and western Oklahoma in the past 30 days. In Kansas, the biggest producer of winter wheat in the United States, 67% of the state is suffering from some sort of drought, a little change from the previous week, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Around 17% of Kansas is seeing extreme or exceptional drought, up from 11% a week earlier. Some 73% of Oklahoma, the second biggest producer of the variety, was experiencing drought conditions. That's actually down from 74% a week earlier. But the percentage of the state that's seeing the worst conditions rose 36%. That's up from 32% from week to week, according to the Drought Monitor. Soybeans and corn were higher overnight as planting remains behind the normal pace in much of the United States. We'll touch on that just a little bit, but just 3% of the soybean crop was planted as of the start of the week. That's behind the average of 5%, so they ain't doing too bad. About 7% of the U.S. corn was in the ground as of Sunday, less than half the normal pace of 15%, and 2% of the crop has emerged at the start of the week, behind the normal 3%. Wheat for May delivery jumped 23 and a quarter cents to $10.95 and three quarter cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. In Kansas City, the futures added up 20 and three quarter cents to $11.73 and three quarter cents a bushel. Soybean futures for May delivery gained 12 cents to $16.87 and a quarter cents a bushel. Soy meal rose $4.30, that is, to $449.90 a short ton, while soybean oil futures added 0.5 cents to 80.58 cents a pound. Corn futures rose 4 1/4 cents to $8.02 and 1/4 cents a bushel. Inspections of corn for export jump week to week, while bean and wheat assessments decline, according to the U.S. Ag Department. Corn inspections in the 7 days that ended on April 21st was reported at 1.65 million metric tons. That's up from the 1.18 metric tons a week earlier, but still down from 1.95 same time last year. Examinations of soybeans for offshore delivery dropped to 602,178 metric tons. That's down from 1 million tons the previous week. But still, it was higher than the 284,000 tons accessed at the same point last year. Wheat inspections also fell, dropping to 287,997 metric tons last week. That's down from 446,000 tons examined the week before. And this time last year, looked like they checked out 581,000 tons, according to the USDA. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the government has inspected 34.9 million metric tons of corn for exports, but that's down 41 million from last year. Soybean inspections since the beginning of September are up to 46.6 million metric tons, trailing the 55.5 million tons examined during the same period a year ago. On wheat, wheat assessments since the start of the grains marketing year on June 1st now stand at 18.4 million metric tons. That's down from 22 million metric tons examined at this point last year, and this all according to the USDA. Well, red flag warnings have been issued from Nebraska into the Texas Panhandle, while freeze warnings are in effect for parts of several states, including Iowa and Illinois, according to the National Weather Service. In central Nebraska, a red flag warning will take effect from noon to 8 o'clock today, and winds will be sustained 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 35. Humidity is pegged to be as low as 15%. In the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, winds will gust up to 45 miles an hour and humidity will fall as low as 14%. In central Iowa, meanwhile, temperatures overnight fell as low as 25%. The freeze warning in that area will remain in effect till this morning, which is already over, and be there again tonight. So there is your kind of update on futures and what's going on in the USA. It was 34 at my house this morning at 6:30, so it was pretty airish, and didn't have any frost. Well, I don't know if I did or not. There's not any moisture in there. Anyway, just giving you guys a heads up, it's coming Friday. Looks like the forecast has got us to have as bad a day this coming Friday with low humidity and high winds as we did a week ago last Friday when the Berlin fire hit. So just FYI, if you and you're in those counties that are in a burn ban, no worries there. But if you are going to be burning something in the non-burn ban counties, just be careful what you fire up this week. And so make sure it's completely out come Friday, because it's going to be another rough day in Oklahoma. And looks like we have plenty of those ahead in our time. I got a question for you. This is not political, and I'm not stepping on any toes. Do you guys, I have a couple questions that's always asked to me, and I'm going to cover one of them right now and one of them later in the show. But I have a question, and the question is, do you think burn bans do any good? And if you do, whatever your answer is, give me a text. Send me a text here at 580-225-9697. Honestly, I got my opinion, but I think if you have a burn ban issued in your county and somebody gets caught starting them, maybe the penalty is severe. I'm not sure about that, but I would think they are. But, you know, the majority of our fires, especially the big ones, have been started, and probably wouldn't have mattered if you had a burn ban or not. And I just think the, you know, if you do have a burn ban in your county, the reason why I brought this up, I've been asked this a bunch in the last few weeks, but Custer County yesterday renewed their burn ban for Custer County, the commissioners did. And I think they're just trying to keep people from burning trash and doing something inadvertently. Not sure. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but just wondering, what do you guys think? Burn ban, help or hurt, or does it matter? So anyway, well, Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic with Dr. Taylor Mouse. Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic is serving all farmers and ranchers and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 1019 South Main in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding with indoor-outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray, also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species. Call 580-225-0200. Easy number to remember, 225-0200, or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. And thank you for my cap. If you're watching, I'm wearing Stockman's Veterinary cap today, clinic cap today. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
What is it now? 66 degrees, southeast winds at 12 miles an hour with gusts up to 22 miles an hour. Humidity is at 21. And we got a chance of thunderstorms coming up tomorrow night and Thursday. But other than that, just a bunch of wind. And I'll go over the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Getting lots of responses on the burn ban. Lots of yeses, but I'll read you off a couple here. County burn bans are fine, but not a magic pill. Now the bans would dictate to the state to fire marshal resources to provide fast state level assistance like a disaster declaration to a county with an active burn ban. That would be more gooder. I thought I was the only one that said that's a Jim Bonics word. Gooder is a Jim Bonics word. That comes into hooked on Jim Bonics. And then another response I got on my personal text, pretty common sense, like, yes, it makes responsible people think about it first. And that's a true fact. But I got lots of yeses on the burn ban. If you want a burn ban, you know what you got to do. You got to call your county commissioner and put the heat on them, but the burn bans are up to the county commissioners, and don't call them and say, Jimmy Clark on Today in Ag said call you if I wanted you to put a burn ban in. That's not what this conversation's about. I promise you. Anyway, we got all kinds of things going on. My man, Spencer Smith, just walked in the studio. We'll get to him on our next segment. He's in here with the Spencer Smith For Ag. See, I got it right that time, didn't I? Yeah. I've been saying AG. It just sounds better, I think. But anyway, For Ag with the planter tip of the week. He's already did three. This is week four, and we'll kind of go over the ones that he's already done for you guys that might have missed out on it. But anyway, so let's get to some of our FFA students. First of all, congratulations to Addie Snaberger down at Carnegie. She's been on the show here about, well, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. If you've not ever met her and you hear she's in the same room with you, make it a point to go meet this young lady. You talk about somebody that's on a mission, no matter whether it's showing goats, talking speech, making articles for the paper there at Carnegie. She's got it going on, and she's congratulations to her mom and dad. You guys did a great job with her, and she's got some good genetics. She's smart. But anyway, she is the state winner. She won the state at the state FFA speech contest. I think it was Friday night or Saturday, but she won the FFA Creek, and she did it with that. And she will represent the state of Oklahoma at the National FFA Convention next fall. Again, big shout out and congratulations to Addie Snaberger. Well, kind of a sad but sweet moment last night at Merritt. They had their FFA banquet there, and the famous Lexi Smith, she hung up her jacket. It's her last year. She's graduating. So anyway, I love that girl. She's always been sweet to me, and I give her crap at the hog shows when I holler out, hey, it's the famous Lexi Smith. Anyway, she's a darling. Sad moment, But sweet, you did a great job. And if you get a chance, get on social media on Facebook on her dad's page, Randy, and see, or get on Lexi's Facebook page. She wrote a really nice article on there talking about her time in FFA. But also last night at Merritt, Jancy Ripetoe and Reese Hightower were awarded the state Star Grand Green Hand Awards, but it was from 2020. Because of COVID, they didn't give out the awards. You know, all the stuff we had going on during COVID. But you talk about a couple of kids that deserved it. Those are two great kids. I know them both personally. And I give Reese a lot of crap. And Jancy gives me right back at me. She comes right back at me. She's not scared of you. But congratulations to you guys for the Star Green Hand Awards at the FFA chapter at Merritt High School. Again, congratulations. Well, we've got a couple more things before we take a break here. If I can get to it right here real quick. Butler Fire Department. The Volunteer Fire Department was awarded $17,060 in a grant from the MPLX and Marathon Petroleum Corporation. And the grant was for communication equipment for their wildfire response trucks and self-contained breathing apparatuses. And many of you do know Western Oklahoma has experienced several serious wildfires over the past several months, and we are likely to see more in the near future. One of the issues we faced fighting those fires until now was communication between the firefighter on the back of the truck and the driver. With the mask we wear while fighting these fires, talking was difficult. And I'm going to assume not only talking was difficult, but hearing was difficult as voices were muffled. Often best form of communication was slapping the top of the cab. I've been there. Stop. You know, but anyway, they provided this grant. And now they will have clear conversations with their new communication equipment. It's like they were face-to-face. So thank you very much, MPLX and Marathon, for donating that money for a grant for the Butler Fire Department. And all the fire departments are doing wonderful right now. Thank you guys all for all your donations. But please don't stop, because there doesn't look like there's a big end to this, a coming end to this drought anytime soon. But back to some FFA at Sweetwater. They are taking donations for their volunteer fire department there. And if you would like to donate, please bring your items to the Ag Classroom there at Sweetwater by May 10th. And the items they're looking for is water flavoring. They have plenty of water. So they've got just lots of water, they said. They need Gatorade. They need beef jerky, crackers, chapstick, Visine eye drops. Any donations with money would be gladly accepted. So if you guys get a chance, help out the FFA chapter at Sweetwater as they are trying to help the Sweetwater Fire Department get their stuff back up. Well, one of my listeners yesterday thought I was spreading fake news about the Eagles and wind towers. And I'm not on here to dog the wind towers. I'm just here to read what it says. But one of the companies, one of the largest providers of renewable energy, pleaded guilty to criminal charges and was ordered to pay over $8 million in fine and restitution after at least 150 eagles were killed at its wind farms in 8 states, according to federal prosecutors. So this is not fake news. And so anyway, NextEra Energy, a subsidiary of ESI Energy, was also sentenced to 5 years probation after being charged with 3 counts of violating the Migratory Bird Treaty Act during a court appearance in Cheyenne, Wyoming. The charges arose from the death of 9 eagles at 3 of its wind farms in Wyoming and in New Mexico. In addition to those deaths, the company acknowledged the deaths of golden eagles and bald eagles at 50 wind towers in 8 states, Wyoming, California, New Mexico, North Dakota, and Colorado, and Michigan, Arizona, and Illinois. There you go, sir. Was it fake news? But I will tell you what I ran across when I was looking for this, there's been 2,000 golden eagles killed in the last 15 years in California because of wind towers. That's a lot of golden eagles. So, and them are big birds. So, anyway, he also mentioned to me, things ain't turning very fast. I wonder if they could just miss them blades. So I did a little dig into that thing. The tip of one of the wind tower blades with 20-mile-an-hour wind going at, with its blades open at normal speed, and they're just out there flopping around, and you can count them. I think they rotate 5 times a minute minimum, is going 120 miles an hour. I still want to get on the end of one of them and ride it up and throw me, let go and throw me out there, and I'll have one of those parachutes like those guys that jump off the buildings. I really want to try that, but I'm pretty sure nobody's going to let me do that. Well, Spencer's waiting patiently on me, so when we get back, we're going to talk. He's going to talk, tell us about the planner tip of the week. It's been really interesting so far, so come back and listen to what he's got to say with the planner tips of the week, because I know you're getting your planner ready or thinking about it. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April 25th. 2,143 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 353 brought 199. 8 at 573 brought 185. 45 at 629 brought 171.50. 65 at 810 brought 155. 37 at 897 brought 141.50. 3 head of heifers at 348 brought 173. 5 at 615 brought 142. 12 at 735 brought 148.85. 8 at 807 brought 138.50. 9 at 896 brought 128. Butcher cows were 60 to 90. Butcher bulls brought 45 to 109. Pairs were 860 to 1450. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
7 degrees, 21% humidity, winds are southeast, 11 miles an hour, wind gusts are up 16, not too bad. Spencer Smith with 4 ag is in here, not AG. He doesn't like it when I say that. Anyway, I think it sounds professional. It's kind of like saying OSU, you know, I'm saying ag, yeah. AG. But anyway,
there you go.
Anyway, welcome back to studio today, Spencer.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Got a lot of good response from having you on with your planner tip of the week. Everybody,
awesome.
Either they own a planner or not, they think it's interesting.
They're like, yep, like learning about it a little bit.
Yeah, learning a little bit about that. What, you say your allergies are kicking your back.
It's terrible. Too. Well, that, you know, like some of that rye, it's starting to pollinating and everything, so.
It's almost as bad as evergreens.
Man. It's around, you know, it's around about all of our where we live. So,
well, there's a
get every bit of it.
How's the wind today? Not bad.
Actually, I sprayed a little bit this morning, and it wasn't too bad. I mean, it's a pretty nice day.
Yeah, compared to what we have had. All right.
Yep.
What do you let's recap a little bit of what you've talked about like last week.
Yeah, last week we talked a little bit about the seed meter. The maintenance on that, like the drives, whether it be a cable drive or a chain drive, you know, your chains, like if your planter sets outside, about making sure those chains are spinning freely and they don't have like little kinks that's going to cause a chatter in your meter. Right. I like to have all that checked. The cables, make sure they're spinning freely. The clutch on the meter drive. You know, and then also checking your seed discs. And then also, you know, your inside those seed discs, there's some there's brushes, seals, singulators. You want to make sure you change those wear parts, whether it's every year or every two. I would say every 2 years for sure.
Just to be safe.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That was really interesting what you said last year on the chain, making sure there wasn't a kink in it so it doesn't chatter. And remind everybody why they don't want it chattered.
It can cause that seed to bounce in your seed tube as it's going down to the ground. So, you know, you may have inconsistent seed spacing throughout your field, you know, and then if you have two seeds right beside each other, they're going to be competing for moisture and sunlight also.
And then you're going to have a big space between those two and the next one.
Yep. And it's better, you know, some of the test results that I've seen, it's better to actually have a skip than a double.
Right.
It's better to have that open spot. They say like that plant, those two plants will help make up and produce for that area.
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Well, if you're just joining us, Spencer Smith with 4AG is here. I'm going to say that AG with vengeance, but anyway, 4AG's here. He's going to stop by every Tuesday here for a few more weeks at least, or until he runs out of something to talk to you about planters. But anyway, what do we got to talk about today? What do you got going on?
Well, the seed disc openers. So now, you know, we've worked our way from leveling the planter, meter drives, parallel arms. Now we're going down to where you're actually getting to the ground. So your seed disc openers, I recommend, you know, pulling off the old ones. You want to check those and measure across them. And, you know, say if it's a 15-inch disc to start with when it was brand new, I recommend replacing that before it gets down to 14 and a half. 14 and a half.
Much, half inch.
About a half inch, you know. I mean, that the seed disc openers are, I mean, everything on a planter is important for it all to work together. But, you know, like say, for instance, if those seed discs aren't properly set correctly, it can, instead of it causing, you know, instead of it forming a perfect V down there, it can actually form like a W. So now you got a high spot right there of maybe dry soil. Now your seeds can go left or go to the right or set on top. Now it's going to be higher. You know, there's several variables there. But yeah, I recommend checking those seed discs. And even if you buy brand new ones, maybe go ahead and, like, say, put a bolt in a vise and lay that seed disc on that bolt. And then hold like a screwdriver out to the edge, and spin that, and make sure it's true. I've seen where the hubs have been off, you know, a little bit to one side, so that right there is going to cause, you know, inconsistent V trench.
It'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
You'll have a W instead.
Yeah, but you got a brand new disc, but you're still you're not gaining nothing.
Because it's brand new doesn't mean it's right.
Right. You know, and even maybe lay it down on a flat surface and make sure it's not warped or anything like that. Right. Also,
and quit hitting rocks.
Yep, quit hitting rocks. Hey, with this all being no-till, we don't have near as many rocks, you know, as we used to. So
yeah, because you don't till them up.
Yeah,
every year.
You don't till them up.
Refresh your rock crop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seen some down there. West of Granite, a couple of those fields.
No. Not good for a cotton stripper, huh?
Not good for nothing.
And so when you put those new discs on, there's shims in there on each side. So you're going to want to get that spacing correct. So shim them to where they're just kind of touching, and you'll put a business card at the bottom and run it up to the disc until it stops, and then put another business card at the top in between the two discs and run it down. You should have, depending on the thickness of your disc, you should have, if it's a thicker disc, you'd want like an inch to an inch and a half of touching disc.
I got you.
Right there. Yep. So that way you're getting a good cut for that V trench.
I got you.
If it's a little bit of a thinner disc, you know, it might be an inch and a half to 2 inches. longer.
That's actually touching.
Yeah.
The disc actually
touch. Yep. Of it's actually touching right there in the front.
So it, will it cut that business card in half?
Yeah, I'm sure it would. But and then one other little thing that if you run in a coulter like on your planter, like out front,
yeah,
make sure that coulter isn't going deeper than what you're planting.
Okay.
Because you want to make, because all you want to do is just make that an easier cut for your seed disc opener. You don't want to make the whole cut, and then your seed disc opener is going through where that coulter, you know, it's say it's going, you want your seed disc openers to cut, you know, like fresh soil down there in the bottom. Not your, you don't want your coulter doing all that for you.
For you.
Yeah. So you just want it barely.
It's actually a little bit shallower than your opener, I guess, or your disc opener.
Yeah. You'll want your, yeah, like say if you set it down on concrete, you'd want your coulter to be up just a little bit more than what your seed disc opener is.
What if it's not? What does that cause?
Most of them have like a 3-hole bolt option. You can adjust them up.
Right.
But that's going to cause, you're disturbing that soil before the seed ever, you're disturbing it that's not really necessary before that seed ever gets in that perfect spot.
Right. And basically you want that seed to get into virgin soil.
Yep. Yeah. Perfect. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So that makes sense. Well, good. What else they got?
That's about all I got for the seed disc openers.
Come on, you're too fun to talk, man, to. Hey, talk now. About something.
Hey. Well, started killing a little more cover crop. So yeah, it's kind of scares me though, you know, with it's all with it all dying, fires and stuff. So
we got a major drought on. I read on this our state climatologist Gary McMahon, he said something last night that caught my attention, if I can find out what it is. So some lady asked her about the droughts that finally ended, like the one in 2011 we had, when it ended in July of 2015. Anyway, Gary said, he thinks they're calling this El Nino here Godzilla, not Gonzala, but that might be my new Jimbonics word of the day. Anyway, Godzilla El Nino. He said the latest forecasts are pointing to a possible triple dip La Nina, unfortunately, which could mean more of the same of what we got right now all the way through fall and winter. It just makes you, you know, and just, you got to, but, you know, farming and ranching's a business, and we got to make some choices, right or wrong, what we're going to do here.
Yep.
During the drought. We just went through one of the worst in the ever in Western Oklahoma, but we did. Bad part about this drought we got going on now, it's from Texas all the way to Canada.
It's all the way. You know, I talked to guys western Kansas, and even like in the Dakotas, South Dakota, North Dakota, those guys, when you get to the west, I mean, they're dry. I mean, some of those guys that are doing 40-something thousand acres, you know, they're just, I don't know, it'd be scary.
What's the biggest field of cotton you've ever seen?
Biggest field of cotton I've ever seen. I got a customer down in Marianna, Arkansas, and they farm roughly, I think it was 72,000 acres of cotton. And the biggest field that we were in, me and my wife Alyssa, we drove down there, and that one field was over 2,000 acres.
That's a big.
Oh, it's huge. It was huge.
Were the rows straight?
Oh yeah. No. Well, I mean they were, but there's a lot. You know, that landscape is so different down there. There's a lot of curves.
There's a lot of curves. Yeah.
And like they have drainage ditches throughout the whole farm, you know, to try to drain that farm out.
Yeah, it's flat.
Yes.
It's
yep.
Very flat.
Yep. And I don't know what their average rainfall is there, but you know it's
twice what ours.
Yeah, or not three times.
On a normal year, it's twice.
Yeah.
And they, because the biggest cornfield I've ever seen was 6,000 acres.
Wow.
And it was right up there in that area where you was talking about. Actually, it was in South Dakota, because I just crossed by the casino and the Indian reservation there, where you go through there from Valentine, Nebraska, and I just stopped long road trip. I stop, pulled up this old farm field, go do my thing. Farmer pulls in. I was like, dang. Anyway, we got to talking. I was after the pheasant hunting. I could care less about the corn crop. But I got to looking. I said, how big is this field? 5,000 to 6,000 acres. I said, how do you keep that planter full? He said they drop pallets off at one end, in the middle, and at the end. And they just keep going. He said they can take them a little over 10 days to plant it.
Wow. Your acres per hour, though, you know, you're doing so many acres per hour just because you're not stopping. You're not having to travel from farm to farm, fold up.
Better have auto steer and the iPad.
It'd be nice, yeah.
I'm watching movies.
Yeah.
Because that field was, what do you tell me, 3 miles long?
Wow.
I mean, that's
a long way traveling one way. That one farm, it's just mile. It's a mile long row. It's mile long rows, and that one right there. Even if you're running in the sprayer going, 13 mile an hour, it still feels like it takes forever to get to the end.
Quarter's big enough for me. And just say, I'm gonna turn around, and go back the other way real quick. But those guys were just probably They probably fell asleep and was dreaming.
Probably.
Like it's mile long, you could probably set an alarm. Yeah,
set an alarm
and say, wake me up when you get
there. Take you 30 minutes to get to the other end.
Well, back to what you was talking about. I have just curiosity question. You talking about those disc and not letting them get down to 14 and a half inches. How long is, I mean, if you're planting 1,000 acres of cotton or 2,000 acres of cotton.
Say if you're doing 1,000 acres on a 12 row unit, that's not very many acres per row. I would say you could probably go 2 years on them. Maybe you might even be able to go three. You start to work, the bearings. I'd be concerned about the bearings after, going on 3 years. Well,
they're sealed bearings, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they're sealed bearings.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, Mr. Spencer Smith, thanks for stopping by.
You bet. Thanks for having me. Yeah. I'll see if I can come up with something for the next one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm working my way down to the gauge wheels and then the closing wheels and all that. So.
Yeah, you're getting there. You're getting covering there. Don't forget the boxes.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
You got to have seed.
Got to have seed in the box, yes.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
All right, Spencer Smith with 4Ag is here today with his planter tip of the day, and we'll be right back with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast right after this.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
my headphones here. 67 degrees, 21% humidity. Winds are out of the southeast at 12 miles an hour. Gust up to 17 right now. Today, sunny, 73 degrees. Winds are out of the south, southeast, 10-14. Basically looks like what they're doing. Tonight, 46 degrees. Tonight the wind comes back. Tomorrow is breezy. Tomorrow night, chance of thunderstorms. Wednesday is 60 degrees for low tomorrow night. It's going to be a nice night tomorrow evening, and I hope it rains. I just hope it pours. Thursday, 20% slight chance of thunderstorms, 90 for a high. Thursday evening, 62. Still, the wind's blowing. It ain't stopping. Friday, 94 degrees. Winds, 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 45. I can already tell you there's going to be a red flag warning out already. And low humidity, so please, like I said, to start the show earlier, be careful what your plans are this week. And make sure whatever you do, make sure it's out come Friday, because it's going to be another rough day. Friday night, 55 for a low. Looks like it cools down a little bit. There's a little front coming through Friday night and cool down to 82 degrees with northwest winds at 13 to 16 miles an hour. So there is your weather forecast. Well, you know what? Today, Tuesday, is always Tuesday heydays. And it is the Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic Hat Happy Hour. How's that? Cap Happy Hour, however you want to do it. Let's check out some of the stuff that's going on. Hay's not got any cheaper. Got a question for you guys before I give out this report. For you farmers that put up hay, what price do you think, taking advantage of the market because hay qualities and quantities are low, but what do you think a bale of wheat hay is going to cost this year, a fresh bale, this year's crop? And I've had this asked more than once, and I really think a bale of wheat and maybe even rye hay put up right, I think the bales of hay are going to be right at $100. Not a ton. I'm talking about right at $100 for one bale of hay, for wheat or rye hay, both of them being put up right, because input cost has gone crazy. Fuel's doubled. Net wraps doubled. Tires are up. I don't see any of this coming down. I think we're going to see, you got to cover your costs. The good old buddy system, I'll give you a bale of hay for $50 or $60. I think this year's not going to be in the equation. You can't. I mean, if you can, you're losing money if you do it. If you actually sit down and put a number to everything that you do that goes into a bale of hay and cutting a bale of hay. So anyway, I think it's going to be wheat hay and rye hay is going to start out. If nothing gets any higher, $150. If it's because if look at your fertilizer cost, it's three times higher. So there it is. Well, according to what I'm seeing on this USDA hay prices, nothing has come down. And to me, it looks like it's actually increased. So quite a bit since last week. I'll throw California out there, for example. Last week, they were $340 to $360. This week, they're $365 to $390 a ton for premium alfalfa. And across the board, they're getting $330 a ton for good alfalfa. Just not premium, just good alfalfa. Kansas, our neighbor to the north, $180 to $275. On premium goods, $170 to $225. Missouri, $160 to $250 on premium, $120 to $160 on good. Oklahoma, $200 to $255, $255 being delivered on premium alfalfa. $160 to $300 on good alfalfa, and both of those numbers were on delivery. Let's go to Texas. Texas is up. They were just barely at $300 last week. $260 delivered to $330, not delivered on premium alfalfa. $235 to $260 delivered on good alfalfa. Let's head on down here to the grass portion. Kansas, $125 to $130 on premium grass. $70 to $175, and that $175 is delivered on good grass. And Oklahoma, 90 to 145. Those reported that week was last week was delivered. 60 to 65 on good. I can get a hold of some of that if it's actually good. Texas, 180 to 330 on a premium. There's no D after this in parentheses, so there was, must not have been delivered. 120 to 275 on good. Got to be delivered, but who knows what the craziness we got going on in the world. Let's see what we got. 125. I got a gentleman saying 125 is what a bale of good wheat or rye hay will cost. Could be. I haven't actually sat down and put a firm number on it, but I will. I'm going to be working on it because it's getting asked. It's one of the main questions I get asked. What's hay going to go for? I don't know. You know, I got some that I want to sell or I have sold. Not that I want to sell. Don't start calling me. It's already spoken for. And we're going to, it's last year's hay. So I'm staying with my prices that I quoted him. But any new hay we get this year, it's going to be high. Anyway, hey, I wanted to update you guys. Peanuts are starting to be planted in the United States. There's none going on in Oklahoma that I can find. But I will tell you, down in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, they are getting after it. And overall, let's just start from the front. The USDA, NASS, is issuing their weekly crop progress report for the 2022 season. As of this past Sunday, the NASS reports cotton and peanut planting is on par with normal for this time of year. But overall, the USDA meteorologist Brad Ripley says there's a mixed bag on planting progress for cotton across the nation. As for peanuts, Ripley says planting progress is on pace with last year and the five-year average. In Alabama, corn planted was at 51%, which compared to 55% last year, and the five-year average is 58%. The corn emerged right now is at 20%, which compares to 19% last year, and the five-year average is around 30%. Cotton planting has yet to start, but last year at this time, it was at 2%, while the five-year average is also 2%. Peanuts planted in Alabama were at 1%. That compares to 0 this time last year, and the five-year average is 1%. In Florida, NASS reports no cotton has been planted as of April 17th, but peanut planting is moving right along. As of this past Sunday, 10% has been planted, with compares to 11% last year at the time, and the five-year average is 10%. In Georgia, corn planted as of the past Sunday was at 75%, which compares to 80% last year, and the five-year average is 83%. Corn emerged in Georgia was at 56%, which compares to 66% last year, and the five-year average is 67%. Cotton planting is also underway in Georgia, and it's now at 1%. That compares to 5% last year, with the five-year average being 3%. Peanuts planted in Georgia were at 1%, which compares to 1% this time last year, and their five-year average is also 1%. Anyway, so it's a great time of the year. Maybe not so much around here because of no rain. But anyway, it's an exciting time. I get to track the planting progress, the cutting progress, and the harvest progress now. It's a fun time of the year instead of tracking, hey, is your heifer calved yet? I'm sure you guys are getting kind of sick of that. But anyway, hey, if you get on your local Farm Bureau website, they're having their How Your Dog Can Be the Farm Dog of the Year contest going on. Anyway, it's pretty interesting what's going on with that. And like I said, the Farm Bureau Farm Dog of the Year contest is going on right now, supported by Purina. So you have to be a member of the Farm Bureau to get entered in this contest. Hey, there's quite a bit involved here. A year's worth of dog food and $5,000 in prize money. I can dress my dog up like a crocodile or a farmer with a corn pop, pipe in his mouth. So anyway, it was pretty cool, that one last year, that Australian Shepherd, beautiful dog. So anyway, get on your local Farm Bureau website and see if you can track it down, Farm Dog of the Year. Thank you so much for joining in. And thanks again, Spencer Smith of 4Ag, for coming in with the planter tip of the week. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.